One of the most dangerous things we can do is ignore the areas of our life where we struggle with sin. In order to live victoriously, Skip Heitzig says our weak areas need to be dealt with, not swept under the rug.
Know the areas of your personal weakness and shore them up, because that is the area Satan will come and attack. After Jesus was tempted by Satan, the scripture says in Luke 4, when the devil finished tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Your enemy and mine is walking around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for the opportune time to get that weak spot. If it's not shored up, if you don't deal with the past, your future can be miserable.
Make the connection.
In 1938, some fishermen off the coast of South Africa captured a fish that was supposed to have been extinct 65 million years ago. The coelacanth is an animal that, at least according to scientists, has been around virtually unchanged for almost 400 million years. And many were shocked to find that it was still around. You know, we can sometimes think that a certain sin from our past is extinct, only to have it resurface like a coelacanth. We'll find out how we can keep sin extinct in our life today here in The Connection. But before Skip Heitzig gets started, he recently hosted a documentary that explores the truth about just how dangerous occultic influences can be, something we all need to be aware of, especially during this time of year.
The innocence of today's youth is being shattered. A recent obsession with the occult and spirituality is shattering any semblance of a Christian worldview among our children, even among those raised in the church. Dark creatures like vampires and werewolves are shattering the traditional image of being a hero. Virtual reality is shattering our hold on physical reality. Is there anything that can be done to stop this trend? Shattered, a documentary hosted by Skip Heitzig, explores the impact of today's media and what you and I can do about it. In order to help save our youth from having their lives shattered, we need to act now. Find out what we can do in this fascinating documentary. Order Shattered today for just $15. If we don't do something now, we'll have nothing but pieces or broken lives to pick up later. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
Abraham found that when sin isn't properly dealt with, it could creep back into our lives and cause us to revert to our old ways. However, there are some things we can do to avoid that. We'll discover what they are in today's study.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles once again to Genesis chapter 20. Now let's catch up with Skip Heitzig as he continues our study.
Let's move to scene 3. And let's call this scene now a saint rebuked. And here we get to the heart of the story. This is the dialogue portion. This is the climax of the story. Verse 9. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? How have I offended you that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done." And Abimelech said to Abraham, "What did you have in view that you have done this thing?" Charles Spurgeon once said, "God does not allow his children to sin successfully." Here he gets rebuked. And he's rebuked by an unbelieving politician. How embarrassing is that? I was reading in my devotions yesterday with my teenage son. We were reading Proverbs 25, and I came on a verse and I said, Nate, I got to put that in the message. It fits perfectly with what we're dealing with. Here it is. Proverbs 25, a righteous man who falters before the wicked is like a murky spring and a polluted well. Here comes Abraham, that man of faith, that friend of God, that murky spring, that polluted well. And he comes around. He is rebuked by Abimelech. However, we're going to read a few more verses. A few things are revealed about Abraham that we would never know apart from this conversation. Things you never know about Abraham, but they're revealed here. Number one, he's operating under a false assumption. This is one of the reasons he goes back to his old ways. False assumption. Look at verse 11. Abraham said, Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they'll kill me on account of my wife. Stop. Did you hear that? Is that ironic? In other words, he's saying, well, the reason I lied and deceived and placed my wife in danger is because I thought these guys are really bad sinners. It sounds like they have more of the fear of God in their place than Abraham does in his heart. This is an assumption he's operating on. You know, assumption is the lowest form of communication. You'll take action without investigation. He didn't get all the facts. He assumed this and he operated on the assumption. Number two, a faulty assertion. Look at verse 12. But indeed, she is truly my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. Oh, well, you left that part out when we talked to you last. And she that would be an important thing to know, Abraham. But here's the faulty assertion. They had convinced themselves it's okay because it's a little white lie. It's half true. I mean, it's not a mega lie. It's not a big honking lie. On the Richter scale of lies, it's maybe a 1.2. Oh, it's worse. Because you are using truth to deceive people by leaving very important parts out. There's an old saying that says, when you stretch the truth, it's apt to snap back. Behold the snap as Abraham stands there. Something else. Look at verse 13. A failed action. It came to pass, continues Abraham, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said to her, this is your kindness that you should do for me in every place, wherever we go, say of me, he is my brother. Did you hear that? When did God cause him to wander? It was 30 years before this day. When he was in Ur of the Chaldees, when God got a hold of his life and he starts his spiritual walk, they made this little compact together. We'll lie wherever we go. What an interesting wedding that must have been. Abraham, I will take you as my lawfully wedded husband to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, and I'll lie for you wherever we go. Done deal. This amazes me. It's been 30 years of fellowship with God, 30 years of hearing God's promises, 30 years of fighting battles, and all of the while, behind the scenes, they have made this unbroken compact that when we need to, we'll lie together. Now, it bit them once, 25 years before this. They went to Egypt. They were busted before Pharaoh. Abraham admitted his wrong to Pharaoh and prayed to God, but he didn't deal with it. He didn't change. He's doing the same thing here again. Why? Because he never really made a real break with his sin. He just sort of covered it over. The pact is still going on. You know, there's a difference between a lighthearted admission and a brokenhearted confession. Anybody can say, yep, we're all sinners. Yep, I've blown it. But a brokenhearted confession is vastly different. Proverbs 28:13 reads, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. I've discovered that when a believer falls, it is at the place where he has fallen before. It's a weak spot. It's a habit that has not been dealt with, but rather nurtured, allowed to grow over time. Now, we hear about somebody's fall and we go, oh, I can't believe that happened to him or her. They fell in that area. That's because behind the scenes, you discover it's been going on all along. Been nurtured. And something's been festering and growing for a long period of time. All of that to say, know the areas of your personal weakness and shore them up, because that is the area Satan will come and attack. After Jesus was tempted by Satan, the scripture says in Luke 4, when the devil finished tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Your enemy and mine is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for the opportune time to get that weak spot. If it's not shored up, if you don't deal with the past, your future can be miserable. Well, there was a deacon. He'd always go to Wednesday night prayer meeting, and he would often pray the same prayer, and people were praying out loud, and it came to his turn, and he'd always say, "And Lord, clear out all those cobwebs in my life," meaning all those things that aren't right, that mar my testimony. Next week, he'd say it again, "Hey, Lord, clear out all those cobwebs in my life." Well, one guy got sick of hearing this. And by the third or fourth week, when that guy said, "Oh, Lord, clear out all the cobwebs in my life," he finally shouted out and said, "Don't do it, Lord. Kill the spider." You know, here's Abraham cleaning up all this mess, right? All these cobwebs. But the spider is still alive. That needs to be dealt with. Whenever we give in to an impulse of the old nature, we're not just sinning. We are building a lifestyle. You've heard it 100 times from this pulpit. You sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a lifestyle. You are building something destructive for the future. Now, I mentioned there's a difference between lighthearted admission and brokenhearted confession. I want to show you an example of true brokenhearted confession. Turn over to Psalm 51 for a moment. Psalm 51, the most famous prayer of confession, I think, in Scripture, uttered by David after he sinned with Bathsheba and the prophet found him out. Psalm 51. We won't read it all, but notice a few verses. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Did you notice that David doesn't say, "Forgive me for my hang-ups, my issues, a wee problem," but he calls them iniquities, transgressions, and sins? "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. In sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." Verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Verse 16, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." You can hear his attitude. He hates his sin. He loathes himself for having done it, and he despises the very memory of it. That's brokenhearted confession. That's real confession. That's something David did, and it was a threshold moment for him. It's something that Abraham still needed to do. Well, let's finish out the episode, the rerun, shall we? It ends on a good note, believe it or not. This is scene 4. And let's call this scene, "A Servant is Restored." It's a brief scene. Verse 14. "Then Abimelech took sheep, oxen, male and female servants, and gave them to Abraham, and he restored Sarah, his wife, to him. What a guy! And Abimelech said, "See, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you." What a guy! And he said to Sarah, "Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates you before all who are with you and before everybody." Thus she was rebuked. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Then they bore children. For the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Man, you know, Abimelech's at his best. Abraham's at his worst. Abimelech is stellar in his character. Abraham is flawed in his character. But, the Lord is still with Abraham. This is grace. The Lord is still with him, hearing his prayer. Let him go, he's a prophet, he'll pray for you. But he does, and they're healed. So God is still with him, and there's evidence that Abraham confessed his sin to God and was forgiven. You say, "Skip, how do you know that? It doesn't say that." But it does say in Psalm 66 these words, "If I had not confessed the sin of my heart, my Lord would not have listened." But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Abimelech gives him gifts. I don't think I'd have been that gracious. I'd say, "Abraham, come outside for a few minutes first. Come here. I can't believe you did this." But he heaps gracious things upon him. Maybe A, to acknowledge he's a prophet, B, as a personal propitiation for the damages that could have occurred. But here's the point. A bad episode ends with a good God proving once again Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now please don't walk away and go, "Oh, good. So I can mess up, right? I can do anything I want and God will just pick up the pieces." You know what he lost? You know what Abraham lost here? He marred his testimony. He marred his ministry. He marred his future. Think about it. He marred his testimony. He could have given a great witness to a very close and moral unbeliever. But how do you witness to somebody about the God of all truth when you're a liar? It's hard to do that. He ruined his chance. Number two, he marred his ministry. Remember chapter 12, God says, "Abraham, I want you to bless people. Everywhere you go, you'll be a blessing to people." He wasn't a blessing here. He was a scourge. He was a curse. They had no babies in their house as long as he was around. Number three, and listen carefully, it marred his future. It marred his future. We're not going to get to it in our series, but go home and read chapter 26 of this book. Genesis 26 will tell you of the son of Abraham named Isaac visiting the same area, standing before another king, Abimelech. By the way, Abimelech isn't a name, it's a title, like a pharaoh of Egypt. There were many Abimelechs who were rulers of the Philistines. The son of Abraham, Isaac, stands before another Abimelech and says about his wife, "She's my sister." Where'd he get that? Dad. Like father, like son. You know, it's bad enough when sin ruins our witness and hurts other people, but it's really bad when we pass it down to our kids. And that's why we need to deal humbly, honestly, and definitely with sin in our lives. And we do it by confessing, forsaking, and replacing it with his righteousness. I'm going to close with a story that comes to us from talk show host Paul Harvey. You know, Paul Harvey tells how Eskimos kill wolves. Listen to his story. The Eskimo coats his knife blade with animal blood and lets it freeze. Then he adds another layer of blood and another. As each coat freezes, he adds another smear of blood till the blade is hidden deep within a substantial thickness of frozen blood. Then he buries the knife blade up. In the frozen tundra, The wolf catches the scent of the fresh blood and begins to lick it. He licks it more and more feverishly until the blade is bare. Then he keeps on licking harder and harder. Because of the cold, that wolf never notices the pain of the blade on his tongue. His craving for the taste of blood is so great that he doesn't realize his thirst is being satisfied by his own warm blood. He licks the blade until he bleeds to death, swallowing his own life. I have never found a clearer analogy of sin than that. That's exactly what it does. It tastes so good, and you go for it, and it destroys you all the while.
It's always good to take some time and examine where it is exactly that we stand with God. Now, if you've examined yourself today and found that you're not where you need to be, then let me encourage you, as Skip just did, to take this moment right now to make things right with God. If you'd like to talk with someone about how to do that, just call us. We'd be more than happy to walk you through that. Just call 1-800-922-1888. Or you can also learn more when you visit connectionradio.org and click on the No God link. Well, before we wrap things up today, let's get one last thought from Skip and his wife, Lenya.
I guess that Abraham, like all of us, had a mistake, but he made the same mistake twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to think there's hope for us, you know, because I sometimes blow it with the same thing. I think some of us have, I don't know what I'd call besetting sin or a weak area, whether it's anger or lust or gambling or, you know, some of us have these particular hanger-on type sins. Mm-hmm. And we really want to be delivered and we pray about it. And it seems like Abraham fell into that kind of thing. How can that give us hope or let us know that we're in good company?
I think that the first thing that comes to my mind is that God anticipates that we're going to blow it. You know, if we sin, we have an advocate, John wrote in his little letter, 1 John. And it says, if we have no sin, we're a liar. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful, he's just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's a lot of texts in the Bible that anticipate that even believers won't live a perfect life. Number two, I would say it's important to not only confess our sin, but to give our bodies to the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we present our body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. So if we can not just leave off from doing certain things and say, God, I'm sorry, I keep blowing it over and over again, but start to develop new habits with our bodies. We present them to God. Once you develop new habits, new patterns, it's a lot easier to fight against the warfare of the old habits. The other thing, third, is that sometimes we need a friend to help, and we need somebody to help talk us through it, walk us through it, someone we can call on the phone. I know different groups with different sin struggles that are even in the church, and they team them up with people who've walked this road before and can be a clarion, clear voice whenever there's a temptation. And if that kind of teamwork is biblical, it's the body of Christ helping each other.
So it's all right to feel guilty because we should feel guilty for our sins, but we don't need to be condemned.
Right.
Even some of the great saints, they didn't fall. They kept coming back. And the other thing to the Lord, the other thing I noticed is that it's a battle for faith. And it seems like when you're like Abraham or myself or some of these things that you've mentioned, other people, there's a trigger that triggers their lack of faith. And I've often found fear is that trigger. Mm. I mean, both times for Abraham, he was afraid there was a famine and he was afraid of what would happen when he went to get food. And so he fell into this lack of faith as a result of fear. And I think if people could identify some of those triggers, you know, that really challenge their faith, they might be better equipped.
They'd be equipped to know what's coming and to mitigate against being alone in those times or being susceptible during those times or having a friend there. If you know who the enemy is and when the enemy strikes, you can get the battle lines ready way in advance.
Pull up that shield and sword. Have it ready by the wayside.
And lock your shield with other people.
Well, thanks, Skip and Lenya, for taking time to share that with us. And one other thing we wanted to mention, you may not be able to travel the world, but your support of Global Connectors helps make world evangelism possible. Because of listeners like you, we're able to bring the Ministry of the Connection to people all around the globe. Find out how you can be part of our international outreach and how you can get a free resource each month you're a member when you call us at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. That's also how you can get a copy of today's teaching. It's available for just $6, including shipping. So call us at 1-800-922-1888 or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Ever laughed at God? Sometimes His promises are so amazing that they can provoke such a response, as we'll see in our next program. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.